Hello, and welcome to the Cybersecurity Awesomeness Podcast, hosted by Enterprise Management Associates, an industry-leading IT analyst research firm that provides deep insights across the full spectrum of IT and data management technologies. The Cybersecurity Awesomeness Podcast will take a deep dive into the security topics that are top of mind for information security practitioners, IT professionals, and technology business leaders. Join security experts Chris Steffen, VP of Research at EMA, and Ken Buckler, Research Analyst at EMA, for some truly awesome topics. Chris and Ken, take it away.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to the Cybersecurity Awesomeness Podcast. I am your host. My name is Chris Steffen. Joining me today is my friend and colleague, Mr. Ken Buckler. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about third-party identity access providers. Sounds like a big term. You likely use one all the time when you're taking get those pops up from Google or Microsoft or Facebook that basically say, do you want to authenticate using this, that, and the other thing? And the answer is yes. You use third-party identity providers like Ping for one-time passwords, whether you know it or not, or Okta or any of the other groups. And none of those, by the way, are sponsoring this podcast. But we're here today to talk a little bit about those processes and some of the incidents that we've seen recently regarding that process. So I think we'll start there. Ken, talk to me a little bit about one of these providers this previous week recently had an issue with their identity providing mechanism that caused some issues.
Yeah. So Meta, which is the owner of Facebook, Instagram, and Threads, which if you haven't heard of Threads, that's basically Meta's version of Twitter. Meta ran into some issues. Now, they haven't released any information on what actually caused the issues, but for about an hour on Tuesday, nobody could log into any Meta product. Now, that's, you know, okay, well, I can't log into Facebook. I can't log into Instagram. Okay, well, nobody else can. I don't really care. But the problem there is that some websites have their accounts integrated with Meta's login or with Google's login or with Microsoft's login. And this is when you need to take a step back for a minute and say, oh, do I really want to do that third-party integration with a service that I have no control over and have no service level agreement with?
And let's talk that through for a second. So the services that we're talking about, again, probably, you know, we're not talking about the nuclear launch codes or anything like that. But one that I know that is integrated that way is some of the iPhone apps. I am thinking of one in particular that I know uses my Facebook credentials to take and log into that app so that I can get free food at that restaurant. I know that there's a number of them that are that way, that use either Facebook or Google. In this case, I know that it was Facebook, to take and log into that particular app, and they control access into that app via the fact that you logged in via Facebook. But you can do that through Facebook or Google or whatever else. Is that a huge problem? No, probably not. But it's annoying when you're sitting in the drive-thru and you can't get into your app because, you know, you wanted to get your free fry today or your free drink, and you can't do that now because the system that you needed to use to log in is not available or for whatever reason. And so it's an integrated world. That's why we're talking about this. If this was a one-off thing that only mattered to one company in the world and had their hiccup and you move on, okay, well, then that's fine. It is what it is. We are becoming that integrated world where all of these different apps, all of these different companies kind of take and talk with each other. And when one of them has a significant blip, like Meta did, Facebook did this last week, it has a cascade effect on where it impacts a whole bunch of other companies. That's why this is particularly interesting. And case in point, the relatives of yours truly asked me about this specifically because they were having issues getting into one of their food apps. That's why that one comes to mind immediately, because they were the ones having problems with it and trying to figure out, did we screw up our password? Did we not do this, that, and the other thing? And it led to, you know, a whole bunch of problems. We obviously fixed it. Everything was fine. But those are the kind of problems that you can kind of foresee happening.
Yeah, from a business perspective, always a good idea to have a secondary authentication method if you're leveraging these external identity providers. Have a backup method. You know, let somebody, oh, you can't log in with Facebook or Google, log in with your email address and a password you've already set. That kind of
stuff. And by the way, I'm always suspicious of everybody, so that's how I automatically do it anyway, right? I mean, I'm not trying to diss on anybody's anything, but when it gives me the option to log in with my own personal email and my own unique password to the Bob's House of Burgers website, that's what I'm going to do because I don't want it necessarily tied to a Google account, a Facebook account, a Microsoft account. I know that those companies would like me to do that, but I rarely feel comfortable doing that. That said, it's getting to a point in some cases where you don't have a choice. You are required to take and log in through one of these other mechanisms.
Right. And you know what? I get that because then you don't have to worry about, as a company, you don't have to worry about a data breach because it's just going to be auth tokens that, you know, usually get, you know, expired and renewed every session anyway. But at the same time, don't restrict it to just a single login. So if somebody wants to be able to log in with Google or Facebook, let them log in with either. Both are associated with that person's email address. You should be able to verify that it's, you know, still that person if you let them log in with either. That way, if one goes down, they can use the other.
Yeah, I completely agree. And again, there's no reason to belabor the point too much. I mean, we want to take and make certain that people understand there is real value. And again, I'll use the example of my relatives. If they had, you know, as many passwords and logins to remember as I do, they would probably, their heads would explode, right? And so having a unique password and a unique login for every account, it can be really, really intimidating, especially if that doesn't come naturally to you. So taking and having one that's tied to Facebook or Google or Microsoft or whatever, that might be very compelling. I understand it. I agree with it. It's a matter of whether that's really what you want to do. And you're going to have to decide on the importance. So for example, again, the example that I was using was a drive-through app for food. You know, whether you can get your free coffee or Coke or not, is that really going to have a detrimental impact on the way that you experience your life? The answer is probably not. Is it a nice to have? Of course it is, right? And so eventually that would have get resolved. And so maybe that's an easy thing for you to do. Maybe it's pretty low risk in the grand scheme. There you go. You've made kind of a risk-based decision on whether that's going to be appropriate. Would you do it with your bank account? Would you do it with your health information? And the answer is, maybe not so much. I don't know that I want to tie Facebook into my bank. I don't know that I want to tie Google into my healthcare records. Again, that's a risk-based decision. That's one that I'm going to make for myself. I would encourage everybody listening to make those kind of decisions on your own. But that's kind of what we're talking about here. You're going to have to make a decision on whether that information is of enough sensitivity that you want it tied to something else, or whether it's okay just to have it tied to your Facebook or Google or Microsoft account or whatever have you. It's a risk decision. It's something that you have to kind of consider, and it's something that unfortunately is going to be a little bit different for everybody, but something to consider when it's all said and done.
Yeah, OAuth authentication through third-party providers can be absolutely great because you're going to have less chances of somebody using the same password on every single site, and then that site getting compromised, right, and then everybody else getting compromised. Fortunately, most of these OAuth providers now require two-factor authentication, reducing your risk. Of course, the caveat with that is if your Google account gets compromised, now they have access to everything that your Google account has access to. So like Chris just said here, risk versus reward. How much do you want to try to memorize passwords versus how much convenience do you want? It's hard to say. There is no right answer. It's going to have to be something that's each individual based upon their own needs and preferences.
Yeah, and then again, I want to be clear. I'm not saying that you shouldn't do this. I'm saying that you should decide if it makes sense for your particular situation to be using one of these services as your authentication mechanism, understanding the risks that come with doing that. In some cases, it does. I mean, again, quite bluntly, I don't care if Facebook knows that I go to that particular restaurant and is associated that way. It's just, it's a brainlessly simple, easy way for me to authenticate into it, and I'm done. I don't do it, but in this particular case, I could see why that would be an easy, no-brainer way to take and gain that kind of authentication. What you're going to have to decide is based on some of the outages, some of the risks involved, whether you want to use that in a particular use case, the severity of what happens if, you know, that information is compromised, whatever have you, kind of like Ken was referring to, and then go from there. But I am not recommending that you don't. I'm recommending evaluate accordingly. And really, you're going to find in the security space, if you haven't figured this out by listening to us drone on for hours and hours and hours on end through, you know, 50 plus podcasts at this point, that's pretty much always going to be the case. There is a hypothetical situation where it makes sense in almost every situation, but your mileage may vary depending on what your particular situation is. And if you need help understanding that, phone a friend and get the help to understand what that can possibly mean to you, which I was really elated that that's exactly what my relatives did when that happened. They called trying to figure out what was going on, because frankly, I didn't even see it. And we were able to figure out what was going on and deal with it accordingly. They did exactly what I wanted them to do, whether they, you know, hopefully listen to this podcast or not. So again, good information there. Really good lesson on, you know, understanding the risks and understanding some of these third party identity providers and how they can apply to you. Ken, any last words?
You know, once again, risk versus reward. Also, at the same time, when you see those options for multiple providers, choose which one you want. You're least likely to end up getting locked out of. You know, Google, if you only use your Google account for Gmail, and you know, you're probably not going to ever get locked out of Gmail. But if you use some of the social media ones, be mindful of, well, if you get banned from a social media network because somebody didn't like something you posted, now you're also locked out of all those other accounts too. So just be mindful of that.
Yeah, that never happens to us, so I'm not worried about that, because everything that we post is always squeaky clean and Facebook approved, right?
Absolutely.
So, yes, absolutely. So very good. A little sarcasm to end the conversation today, but I think that you've kind of gotten our point. As always, I hope that you learned something from this podcast. If you have any questions about this podcast or a topic that we could talk about on this podcast, please let us know. And until next time, thanks for listening.
Thanks, Chris and Ken, for all your great insights on today's topic. Make your next podcast awesome when you work with EMA security experts Chris Steffen or Ken Buckler. Educate your prospects, differentiate your solution, and add the credibility of a third-party expert to your message. Visit cybersecurityawesomeness.com to listen to past episodes.